inviting Ruth and myself to come and speak to you about Mercy Ships. And what I'll do is I'll weave into my presentation the reading we've just heard. It's a remarkable story. In one sense, it's a remarkable literature. People didn't used to write like this. This narrative form it came out from nowhere, this way of writing. That's the first thing about this document. And the other thing is, as far as I know it, do check, there's no other case of blind being able to see in the Bible up to this point. There's nobody who was given their sight in the Old Testament. So this was a remarkable event. Okay. But do check that. Don't believe everything preachers say. Do test it. That's a biblical principle. So Mercy Ships is two ships. There they are. On the left is the Africa Mercy, which is the first ship converted from a Channel ferry into a hospital ship. 400 people on board, to give you an idea of the size. And on the right, this was, the Global Mercy was about 2 years ago, constructed right from the beginning. So it wasn't a converted ship, it was a proper hospital ship built from scratch. And they're now running, doing their work. The Africa Mercy is in Madagascar, which is East Africa, and the Global Mercy is in Sierra Leone, which is West Africa. And they're two hospital ships run by a charity which provides care to people who need it the most. So it brings hope and healing to the world's poorest for over 40 years now. Hope and healing. The reading here, of course, alludes to that. Why suffering? The question that never goes away. Is pain God's mistake? We believe in an omnipotent, all-powerful God in control of all things. The Hebrew word for God, many of the words for God, one is El Shaddai, God Almighty, God is in control. We believe in a loving God, Hebrew, Hesed, all-loving, all-powerful, and yet the age-old question, illness and disease, that Mercy Ships particularly sees. If you go and work with Mercy Ships, you see a lot of pain and suffering. Of course, where did the idea of a loving God come from? With that evidence of a loving God and yet all-powerful. Where did the idea, when you look at the world, and Paul has just alluded to that in his prayer, when you look at the world, it is not perfect. Where did the idea of a loving God come from? And I would say, and always a good answer to people really, is don't look at the world to understand God. Who do you look at? Jesus Christ. The God who heals through Jesus. And as we see in this reading, Jesus never saw suffering as an academic, illusory thing. He saw it as real and wanted to enter into it in the way that Mercy Ships does, and each one of us does when we help somebody who's in suffering. Look at the healing of the blind man that we've just heard in chapter 8. More about that in a minute. So Mercy Ships brings hope and healing. It isn't an academic subject, suffering. Our role as Christians is to act as Jesus did. What's the need? Well, it's a specific need that Mercy Ships addresses. Of course, there's needs in the whole world, but you can't change the whole world. Mercy Ships deals with one particular area of need that in particularly sub-Saharan Africa, 2 out of 3 people lack access to safe, affordable surgery. They can't access the healthcare they need. 2 main reasons. They can't afford it. And the reason that we're trying to address here with the ship illustration is the skills are not there. And that's another role of Mercy Ships, is to teach. Where has it been? Primarily West Africa. It cycles around over those 40 years. It's been visiting countries again and again and again. And it's visited over 45 countries in that cycle. At least 1,000 volunteers up to this point, but it's far more now. And to give an idea, over that 40 years, 100,000 life-changing surgeries have been provided. But as well as that is the teaching that we talked about a minute ago. Where did this all begin? begin, well, about, well, that's 40, almost 50 years ago, isn't it, really? Don and Deanne Stevens were an American couple working with Youth for the Ministry, had a vision for a hospital ship. And it follows, as I said in that illustration, the 2,000-year model of Jesus bringing hope and healing to the poor. Jesus didn't just answer the academic question of the disciples, who sinned. He just healed the man. What's interesting about the context of this gospel and understanding scripture is all about context, is that the Jewish view of scripture at the time was you suffered because you'd done something wrong, you'd sinned. Primarily it was sin. There was a direct connection between sin and suffering in the Hebrew mind. And it's a common view you'll still have today. People often say, what have I done to deserve this? A good book that often people turn to this big question about the problem of suffering, is the book of Job. And there's an important point made to the Hebrew readers in the book of Job, if you remember the story, in the heavenly court. Job was a good man, and yet he suffered terribly. That was a conundrum. And there's an interesting point about that whole story. You've probably heard the term Job's comforters. They're people who tried to help but didn't. The best thing they did in that whole story was didn't say a thing for 2 weeks and just sat with Job. And I think there's a model there for each one of us. And in the Jewish tradition of grieving, you don't speak to the person until they speak to you. And I think that's a great... So Jesus here acted. He didn't sort of, in a way, dwell on the problem of why, but he acted. So maybe that's the answer. As we know, what answer did Job give? What answer did God give to Job after 38 chapters where he was silent? And the answer he gave was, who darkens my counsel with words without knowledge? In other words, it's not for you to know. And I suspect sometimes in many ways most of us have found that. Mercy Ships finds that as well. We don't know the answer to that big question, why pain, why suffering, but we need to do something about it and work out, using Jesus' model, a Christian response. So Mercy Ships partners with nations. That's really important. It partners with nations to leave a legacy of sustainable healthcare. So as well as providing healthcare free to people who can't afford it, in West Africa particularly, they also teach doctors and nurses how to provide the specialist care that may not be available, to leave a lasting legacy. So what about the ships? Well, the Africa Mercy, there it is. It's a converted channel ferry, and it's, well, the statistics are here to give you a feel for it. 16,000 tonnes, so it's quite big. It's bigger than most naval frigates, for example. It's got 5 operating theatres, 450 crew on board of all skills. The Global Mercy, which you remember was built from scratch, as it were, as a specialist hospital ship, is twice as big. 6 operating theatres, almost 1,000 people. It's a bit like Western General Hospital floating on a ship, to give you a sense of the scale. And to answer the question in the sense of what they do, well, firstly, why ships? Well, they bring everything with them they need. And 50% of the world's population live within 100 miles of a port city. So providing hospital ship care is very accessible to a larger, greater of the population. So we're talking here about Mercy Ships, which is a charity that provides 2 hospital ships, which are one built from scratch, one converted ferry, 1,000 people on board on the right, to give you a sense of the scale of the thing, and provides medical care to those who can't afford it or haven't got the surgical skills. And it's a charity. It's provided by funding from people like yourselves. So what's its role? Well, to reduce the surgical backlog. I think we're familiar with that in this country, aren't we? It's the same in these countries, mainly because they can't afford the treatment or it's not available, the specialist treatment. Mentor and train local healthcare professionals, back to the fish illustration. Renovate and improve local healthcare facilities. That would be, in a sense, increasing the number of fish available to fish from, to get. So as well as teaching people how to fish, it increases the bulk of the facilities available to enable that fishing to take place, to use that analogy again. This is an illustration that the point of this, it's a circular process that Mercy Ships does. It's invited to a country like Ghana. Several months before it will be invited, maybe a year before, there'll be a process of negotiation and also collaboration to see what the needs are. And then there'll be a date set for the hospital ship to dock. And from that point on, the outreach will start. At the very beginning, there will be an assessment of patients, and then they treat. And it's a Christian organisation, but primarily it's providing medical care in the same way that Jesus didn't approach the academic question of the disciples, why did this man sin? He healed them. But I think after that, we'll see in the story, of course, there was opportunity for ministry and outreach. And that's the vision of Mercy Ships. It's primarily a Christian organisation that provides medical care. But if opportunities for vision and mission occur, then that's taken. So we're invited by the government to each country, work with them to identify the needs and select patients. Everything is free of charge. This is the answer to Paul's question. What care does Mercy Ships provide? And it's very specialist. It's low cost, high effect. So maxillofacial, that's head and neck, things like cleft lips and cleft palates, I'll show you some pictures in a minute, tumours, plastic reconstruction, primarily burns, for example, orthopaedic, a lot of children's work. The very word orthopaedic means straight child. They make children straight again, for example, from rickets. Obstetric fistula. Yeah, would you like to talk about what those are, Ruth? Yes. It's a very specialist ministry, but very, very effective amongst the women.
So this is where a woman has had a labour that's gone on too long. Invariably, the baby has died. So they're left grieving a child. They also have a connection between the birth canal, vagina, and the leak, either faeces or urine, and they're cast out. So at the very time, they probably need people around them when they've had a bereavement. They're actually cast out. So they bring all these women together at the same time on the ship. So they'll take over several wards and have all these women together. And for a lot of them, they didn't know anybody else was like them. So that's difficult for them anyway. But when they have had their surgery, they relaunch them into society by giving them a new outfit, have their hair done, do their makeup to make them feel really special. Because that's one thing that Mercy Ships does very well. It looks at each person and makes that person feel very special. And we all know if somebody actually takes the time to get to know you and look after you, how that makes you feel. So that's what happens in the dress ceremony.
Thanks, Ruth. General surgery will be nodular goiters, for example, hernias, ophthalmic eyes. And that's a really important thing for a number of reasons, really. Not only the devastating effect of poor vision, mainly cataracts or squints, but also, again, the economic benefit, to use that sort of way of thinking, of giving somebody their sight. And Ruth tells the story better than I can. Do you mind explaining the economic benefit of something I hadn't really thought about until Ruth pointed this out?
So if you are blind, you probably couldn't stay at home looking after yourself because you need somebody to help you. So you're a wage not coming into that household. But the person that's looking after you also doesn't earn. So restoring somebody's eyesight means that that person can go and earn, and that person that was looking after you could also go and earn. So you lift that family out of poverty, enable them probably to pay for the school fees or feed their children or look for different sort of employment for their family so that they raise the expectations of that family. So it has a profound effect on the community as a whole.
Great, thanks. dental and palliative care. And that's often, it's like a lot of things actually, that the more difficult decisions are not doing something than doing something. And there are, of course, cases who are too advanced for Mercy Ships to help. And that's often the most difficult decision, is saying somebody you can't treat you. But there are ways of providing palliative care and also managing these situations. So I remember a talk really by, when you work with Mercy Ships, the way we've done, we've gone over for 2 weeks every 6 months, and I'm a pathologist, so I was involved in some of the diagnostic work for the tumours. But the important thing is, I think, to remember, as I was pointing out, I said, Ed, don't forget, a majority of the worldview, we have a very different worldview, I think a very positive worldview. The worldview we have, you can change things, can't you? You can, I think. Sometimes you can't. That idea that you can change things is not a universal view in the world. And I think simply by showing somebody you can change things, like the obstetric fistula, is a real mind shift, a paradigm shift in the way of thinking. Because I think one of the marvellous things about the Christian way of looking at suffering is we may not know the answers. That's the best answer, I think. I do not know. I've got some ideas. Suffering, the fall, you know, a lot of suffering is human. But in the end, there's no answer. But I can help you. It shouldn't be. It's the Christian worldview about suffering. It shouldn't be. It was not meant to be. And we can do something about it with God's grace. And Mercy Ships does see healings occasionally like this. Not common, don't get me wrong, but there is that also opportunity of biblical healing as we see here. How we got involved? Well, the ship, the earlier ship, which is now not servicing anymore on the left, called the Anastasis, came to Bristol, and we captured the vision, and we got involved in the mass screenings that go on at the beginning of the outreaches. So it's basically a massive outpatients, that's effectively what it is, with different stations of all those specialties I've mentioned there, including pathology. And I set up a little pathology lab with Ruth, and we help do diagnostic work from patients, which really helps the doctors understand what the diseases are and help them how to treat. And we also teach back to that model. And now, of course, with modern technology, as we're even using now, we've got the opportunity for interrogating slides and specimens from a distance, so we can use what's called telepathology. I don't actually have to leave home now to diagnose specimens on the ships. What are the sort of things we see? Well, we've mentioned maxillofacial tumours, like that gentleman on the left before his tumour, and on the right is after it was taken out. Benign, we only know that through the pathology. There's a cleft lips, which is a life-changing operation. It's primarily a plastic surgical operation. She was born like that, with a cleft lip. They call it hair lip. It is one of the most common congenital abnormalities in this country, but you just don't see it because people get treated when they're very young. Burns, West Africa, fuel, wood, burns very common, giving contractures. That's an example of plastic surgery. And in this case, orthopedics, that would be rickets on the left, and the lady on the right has had her leg straightened. And this is ophthalmic. We've talked about the benefit it has to the family in the case of this mother being able to look after her children after her cataracts. This is the obstetric fistula. And general surgery I've alluded to, like goiters and that sort of thing. Dental clinics and palliative care. But the impact of Mercy Ships is firstly showing the love of Jesus using that 2000 model of his teaching, but also providing a legacy of care through teaching as well as provision of care, which will be long-lasting for the people and for that nation. Medical capacity building is a fancy way of saying doing ourselves out of a job. And eventually, the model of Mercy Ships is that hopefully it won't be needed in the future when the needs have been met. This is where also you can come in and do spread the word. The two ships need volunteers of all modalities, not only from the maritime thing side of things, so people who needed to run the ships from an engineering point of view, but also from the support activities like hotel staff, and finally medical of any description, medical or paramedical. And also what it does at the time while it's in port, about 30% of the crew are local residents employed by the organisation to help and be taught to care for the patients coming on board. Just back to this, if you know anybody, well, firstly, there's no age limit. So if any of you are interested in getting involved in Mercy Ships, whatever, we've all got skills, do let me know afterwards and have a chat with myself and Ruth. Or you may know somebody who would be interested, somebody who wants to take a year out, for example, medical or nursing or any of those other roles we've mentioned there. Do let me know or get on the website. Although it can be hard and difficult work, the testimony of many Christians, particularly, you don't have to be a Christian to work for Mercy Ships, but it is a Christian organisation, is that they're empowered by the Holy Spirit. And it's Pentecost Sunday in many churches, and God's power is evident through the Holy Spirit. And many Christians' testimony will be that God's power is drawn to weakness. His power kicks in when you've got no power left. And no one through the Holy Spirit is too weak to be powerful. A strange but real Christian principle. It is attracted to human weakness. So many of the volunteers will find there's so much need. Who can cope? But they feel from a spiritual point of view, given that power of the Holy Spirit, to do their work. And also living in a Christian community is a tremendous building of faith as well. Not easy, but it's from a faith point of view, it's actually a tremendous experience for young Christians in particular to have, and can empower them for the rest of their lives. So thanks for letting me talk about Mercy Ships. Mercy Ships in many ways doesn't try and answer the question about suffering that the disciples was asking. We all have different ideas and views, but we can be absolutely sure and confident in what we know, and that if we want to understand God, look at Jesus. And his command is to bring hope and healing to those around you. And Mercy Ships is doing that. So thanks for your support. Thanks, Paul.